What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Pulling along in the 7 o'clock hour on a Tuesday. For those of you that celebrate, congratulations. Somebody from the 913 says, Booth Creek Ad just said Metcalf. Am I still high from last night? Now you get why we were saying it yesterday. Yep. Welcome to the party. I'll be honest with you. I think Colin Cowherd is one of the best in the business. That's the best thing about the business is that you might have a guy that you like more than other people. Some people might be McAfee fans. Some people might be Cowherd fans. Some people might be Nick Wright fans. Some people might be Dave Portnoy fans. You just kind of like the personality that you like, which doesn't mean that I like everything they have to say. And I thought this was a little extreme.
The NFL playoffs were just fine without the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the many reasons, a big reason, is Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. He is, in my lifetime, and I really believe this, the most impressive football player I've ever seen. Doesn't mean he's going to be the most decorated or the most beloved. He's the most impressive football player. The size, the arm, the caginess. The guy got 10 yards on a tush push. I mean, just 80% completion percentage on the road against a good defense to 9 different receivers. And this is not a very good receiving room. Oh, yeah, he also was in concussion protocol, hurt his hand and tweaked his knee. It doesn't matter. I swear, I think he's better trailing because then he can be like, you know what? I'm going to take the game over. I mean, do you know how good you have to be this good against pro athletes? I mean, this is what you do if you're a Division I athlete and you're in high school, Josh Allen. My bad. I'm not doubting him ever again because you know what's going to happen is 50 years from now, kids are going to be listening to grandpa. And grandpa's going to go, here's this guy named Josh. He was like Paul Bunyan. And the kids will think it's mythology and folklore. And I'm here to tell you kids, if I'm still around,
So that was Colin yesterday.
Here's this guy named Josh. He was like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just Josh Allen. This is my...
Here's this guy named Josh. He was like Paul Bunyan.
My biggest fear is when the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs, this is what would happen. Of course, Colin, the Monday after the playoffs, is right there giving me the predictable, right? Josh Allen is the most, whatever he said, best I've ever seen or most impressive football player that he's ever seen. Colin Cowherd's a little bit older than me, you know, mid-50s, I would imagine, probably closer to 60, I would imagine, getting up there in age. He saw Lawrence Taylor play. There has been nobody more impressive, in my opinion, on a football field than watching Lawrence Taylor. It was the most impressive display that I've ever seen. Josh Allen is not in my top five of most impressive football players I've ever seen. That is hyperbolic Colin getting caught up in the moment of what we saw Josh Allen do against the Jacksonville Jaguars that has him calling the most impressive player that he's ever seen. To me, that is hyperbolic. That is caught up in the moment, and that is not the case, because I'm sure if you ask Colin 3 months from now who the most impressive football player is, he's not saying Josh Allen.
Hey, well, yo, man.
Because that sounds similar.
It's exactly what Colin sounds like.
Yeah. There's this guy named Josh. He was like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. Now we're comparing Josh Allen to Paul Bunyan, a man who is 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, who has not won an AFC championship game, not been to a Super Bowl yet, but by all means, let's call him the most impressive football player I've ever seen. And Colin has been watching football since probably the late 1970s, early 1980s, and we're here, and that's the statement he's making based on what Josh Allen has done. I disagree. I heard it in games over the weekend, and I can't remember which one it was. It may have even been Romo that said it. You don't see any other player in the NFL making plays like Josh Allen. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm so tired of the narrative, and I don't know why we have to anoint Josh Allen. He is a great football player, and if he doesn't get the rings, he will be remembered less than he should be. I'm with Colin on that. He's not – better when he's trailing. First of all, he's got an 8-6 playoff record. I don't think that indicates that you're better when you're behind. You're about 50-50. You're about average. We did this last week with the quarterback wins. We build him up in case he loses. We give him all the preemptive excuses. Then when he wins, he's great. I don't all of a sudden think he's great because he beat Trevor Lawrence, a guy who blew a 27-0 playoff lead or was down 27-0 in the playoffs and then lost to Chad Henne the next week. And then threw a pick on the first play, an awful throw, after Josh Allen scored with too much time. We're giving him credit for a tush push where the guard picked him up and carried him for 10 yards. That's really what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Allen's a great quarterback. He doesn't need all this stuff. So I think just like maybe his shortcomings have hurt him, I think this narrative hurts him too. We baby him. Why don't we just sit back and enjoy him? He is a great football player. He had a great game on Sunday. We have to do this greatest of all time, most special of all time thing. After
most
beating
impressive
Jacksonville,
football player he's ever seen.
After beating Jacksonville, really?
Right.
Okay.
He is an impressive player. He's not the most impressive. Receiver. I would say that Christian McCaffrey was more impressive in the first round of the playoffs this year than Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And
yeah.
Josh Allen was great. He was good. He had three total touchdowns. He threw one interception. He got sacked one time, didn't throw any interceptions, made that play on first down to like a 35-yard pass.
Yeah.
He was great.
Are we calling Puka the greatest receiver talent of all time after his performance? Like, why did we do this with Josh Allen?
Because.
And I will say this, and this is because of Chiefs fatigue.
Yeah.
Because Mahomes ruins it. Just like Jordan ruined it for a lot of people in the NBA. Just like Tiger ruined it for a lot of people in the PGA Tour. There were a lot of great golfers when Tiger Woods was going through 97 to 2002. But it didn't matter because you couldn't win like Tiger won. But you're still considered good. And when Mahomes was in his run, there's a lot of good quarterbacks that he's beaten.
Yeah.
Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen.
Multiple times.
All these guys. And it gets overshadowed because they don't get to, like, Charles Barkley's career is always towered and shadowed by Michael Jordan. But there's no disagreement that Charles Barkley was a great basketball player. Now, media was different back in the early, you know, 90s and late 80s when they were doing their thing and there weren't people, you know, over here glazing other people. That is a glazing topic for Josh Allen. There's no doubt in my mind. And Colin does these things where he tries to get everybody to kind of react to him because he's gotten to that platform and to that level, right? Like, that's what he does.
He's very good at that.
And that's how he, and that's why he stayed where he's at. Whether you like it, that's what I said. Whether you like him or hate him, he gets you to talk. And that's what makes things great in this industry. You don't have to like me or hate me. Or the same with Bob or even with you. But if you say something that gets people talking, you've done your job. And Josh Allen, you have not yet done your job because I do believe this is your year where you've got to get the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you have a game coming up this Saturday against Denver who's going to say, last year when you guys beat the absolute blank out of us and it was fun and it was great and it was in your house, we didn't forget that. And when Buffalo goes to Denver, Josh Allen has to have that mentality that they did do that last year and that he is that guy and that he can beat this Denver team because he is better than Bo Nix. There were times when Patrick Mahomes' defense wasn't better than Josh Allen's defense, but Patrick Mahomes knew he was better than Josh Allen. 13-second game.
Right.
Last year, Spagnuolo knew what Josh Allen was doing. He said he always runs to the left. He always runs to the left. When they get that little one-yard play, block the left side. What do they do? Block the left side. Or whatever it is, left or right. I don't want to get an argument
about it. It's the left and they're still doing it.
Yeah, and then they knew the tendency. So if you want to be great and you want to have that sort of conversation, then you've got to go do great things. And unfortunately for him, he hasn't done that yet. So that conversation still looms, right? It's still there.
He hasn't done the one thing that every quarterback in NFL history is now judged at, win a Super Bowl or even get to a Super Bowl. And so I think we're jumping the gun. But we're also doing right now, though, is we're releasing everything from the holster that these national media pundits have had in their holster for the last 7 years of topics that they couldn't get to because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were the answer to every one of their, you know, phony questions that they created up there. I mean, it even got to the point for, you know, for the early part of this dynasty run before Patrick Mahomes got into his mid-20s, everything was like, except Patrick Mahomes, who's the best under 25? Except Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, who are the best? Like, they would legitimately do that kind of stuff because the answer to every question for so long that they posed to each other and screamed about was answered by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it got to one point, you know, a couple of years ago so bad where Swagoo just finally goes on set and goes, enough of your damn questions. Everybody knows the answers, the Chiefs, right? And like it got to that point. So without them being in the playoffs and without Patrick Mahomes being there, it's allowing all these national gas bags to get out there and unload every topic that they've been waiting for in the holster for so long. The fact that Colin Cowherd and we're doing exactly what he wants because it is a great debatable topic. He's not the most impressive football player that I've ever seen. He shouldn't be the most impressive football player that Colin Cowherd has ever seen. Who's the most impressive football player you guys have ever seen?
There's this guy named Jay. He was like Paul Bunyan.
It's my aunt Jay.
Yeah. I don't know. Derrick Henry's pretty impressive. The way that he's done it for the long time.
That's a good one.
Adrian Peterson was impressive. Mahomes is impressive. Brady probably is the most impressive.
That's a fair point.
From my childhood, I toss out Vic and Darrell Revis at their primes. Yeah. I think just that graphic of like what receivers did against Darrell Revis that one season just sticks out of my mind when I think about that. And then the text line, everyone's talking about Bo Jackson, obviously being the most impressive player they've ever seen play.
For 2 years.
I was too young for that.
For a hot minute. Yeah. Bo gets overrated in these conversations as well. The injuries, you know, Bo was more of a myth than he was a player. He really was. And I wish that wasn't the case, and I love Bo Jackson as a kid, but the older you get, the more you realize, man, there was more conversation about what Bo could do than what actually he did because of the injuries, and that happens, and that sucks, and he's probably the one athlete that's everybody would agree his career got taken away from him, you know, too soon, and what Deion Sanders you could look at and say is one of the more impressive NFL players of all time. I mean, that guy shut down the opposition and returned kicks and punts for touchdowns. I mean, so Deion was pretty damn impressive. Michael Irvin was pretty damn impressive at the time. Tyreek Hill was pretty damn impressive when he played.
Coming up next, we have a conversation about the head man in charge in Lawrence. Things are different now. We'll talk about it next, plus Nathan with one word on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right into it here in the nuts and bolts of the 7 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. Nathan, Bob, Dusty with you this morning. Hey, if you take some time, and I don't ever advocate for this, but if you're driving to work and you're stuck in traffic or you're walking out on your front door right now, 10 seconds, total silence, look at the sunrise.
Is it the most impressive one you've ever seen?
In my lifetime.
Yeah.
That is the Josh Allen of sunrises right there. I mean, Nathan, you can even peek out of your little window and check out that wonderful, wonderful sunrise.
It is beautiful this morning.
Yeah. You can also check out the ghost of Bob Fesco on our live stream.
The ghost? What does it look like out there?
It's just Gordon's head. You can do whatever you want. You can flip the camera off right now and no one will see it.
That's crazy. How is that not that possible like that? That's weird.
This is where we're at.
Oh, wait. No, because I'm not back in there yet, am I? Or is it just because I'm not here?
We're live.
We are live.
Yeah, flip the camera off. Do it.
No, I'm not going to. But hey, let me move the camera, though. All right. I've moved the camera down, and nothing has changed on the live screen. Yeah.
See, that thing is line here about your face breaking the camera before the texts come in. I'll just get out ahead of that and say that now. So you guys could all just delete those texts.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So
I'm looking at you.
I know you're looking at me right now and I turn the camera
after
over.
Hours.
Oh, that's what it is. All right. So whatever. I don't know. It's technology and
but
stuff.
But you can
right?
still check it out if you'd like to. You can see
Dusty talking to Ghost. I mean, that's weird like that.
That's how it works sometimes. Yeah, it's completely
Dusty and Gordo.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just so when I see a penny get dragged up to the ceiling, I'll know that Sam, a.k.a. Bob, is there from Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully people have seen that before.
You're dating yourself on that one, I'm sure.
You've seen Ghost, haven't you, Nathan? Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. Nah. Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore.
Familiar with those
Patrick
people.
Patrick Swayze.
Yes, I recognize the name. Never seen Ghost.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you should. They sing a great song. And when a man loves a woman. And they're making like wood projects. They're whittling wood in nude.
A lot of inaccuracy there, but somewhat close. Pottery is what they're making.
Okay.
And the song is, oh, my darling.
Oh, it's two great songs. I'm not sure who to believe about which one's actually in the movie.
Before Your Touch.
Simon Cowell's favorite song of all time. Someone said
is
that,
it really? I didn't know that.
Anytime someone would do that on American Idol, he'd say, oh, great, this is my favorite song of all time.
And you just ruined it.
Yeah.
Because it is Unchained Melody, Righteous Brothers, man. Yeah. Let's go.
Someone says, I just told my kids to check the sunrise on our way to school. They did not care.
No, they don't care. Good for you, man. I love you. They don't care about anything we say as parents ever.
There is, excuse me, there is a saying that the it is darkest before the dawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how dark it's getting in Lawrence. Now, I heard...
You want to shut that mic off if you're going to slam that drink next time?
Yeah, about that.
With a...
It's the end of the coffee right there.
That was like... That was like a Zima commercial from the 90s.
I mean, that was fantastic. Rattling the glass, yeah, my slamming bad.
Cut
one.
It. It's there in the audio.
Yeah,
that was a...
What are you drinking over there?
Coffee.
Just coffee.
But it had ice in it. You have iced coffee?
Cold brew.
Okay, cold
Heck
brew.
Yeah.
Did you make it at home?
Oh, yeah.
What do you use for your cold brew? We're going to geek out
is this
here for
Uncle
a second.
Buck?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know what the... It's just a bottle of cold brew I bought at the store.
Oh,
I'm
a bottle
today.
Of it. You're not brewing it yourself.
It's not the Starbucks brand. I forget the brand, but yeah, it's just one of those every morning.
All right. Very good.
Big game in Lawrence tonight.
Huge
Number
game.
Two, Ohio. Iowa State comes to Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much clout I have in this conversation because I don't dip, dive, duck, dodge, and dip into KU athletics a lot like some people do. I kind of watch their games. I'll watch tonight. I saw that they took TCU into overtime. They lose to West Virginia. They've lost to Central Florida. Maybe this is a hot take as we just gave Colin Cowherd his hot take medicine. Has the game passed Bill Self?
No.
Because normally, if you have the success that he's had, you are on house money for as long as you'd like to have. But since this NIL and transfer portal has happened, now, again, I'm not going to say that, you know, Bill Self's health scare was an issue. I think Alex was talking a little bit about how that's kind of changed a little bit of stuff, too, as well.
Yeah.
Like, he said it's kind of made him not as much of a red ass as the narrative I got from Alex yesterday, that he's kind of softened his temper a little bit. He's not as many, and he looks great, right?
He looks really good.
Looks a lot
good,
better
yeah.
than he used to.
Yeah. I'm looking at him on TV right now. He looks thin.
Which
looks
is
good.
Weird that
yeah.
He's lined up again. But this is a game in which KU now ranked 27th in the nation out of the top 25. Iowa State, number two. And I thought yesterday in Bill's press conference, he goes, you still got to let these kids know it's a game, but it's not the game.
Right.
Like, it's not
mm-hmm.
that big of a... It is a game that's big. It's massive. It's in Lawrence. It's tonight.
It's the next one.
It's ESPN. But again, it seems to me that in the last 5 years or so, Kansas doesn't have that sort of Kansas vibe anymore. And the Big 12 is better. The best team in the Big 12 this year and the best team in the nation is Arizona. The second best team in the Big 12 and the second best team in the nation is Iowa State. BYU is in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
right? We're talking about Nebraska, who's not in the Big 12, but they're in the Big 10. They're a top 10 team, right? And it seems like certain coaches have figured this new wave out in both sports, college football, college basketball, because I saw Kleiman said yesterday part of the NIL barriers in the structure of college football has what led him to retirement because he just can't compete and there's things that aren't fixed
yeah.
and the I's not dotted and T's not crossed.
Manhattan Mercury had that story a week ago. I'm surprised it took so long for that story to pick up from a national standpoint because what he had to say was everything that everybody in college sports believes.
And I'm wondering if that's part of the reason why when you look at this sort of thing with Bill Self in Kansas, that maybe this is that sort of wave that is moving out with the tide that is, yeah, everyone now can do what you've been doing. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that Kansas was getting around loopholes. Obviously, the Adidas situation that happened, there were things that were going on. But now
who
it
wasn't?
Exactly. But the ones that had the advantage were the upper hands, the blue bloods,
right.
the big teams, the Alabamas in football, the USCs in football, right? Like, all those schools. And then now it's like, it's a wild, wild west show in college sports, and some teams are better than it. Look at the national championship.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, you look at it right now, and it's not like it's a KU thing or something like that. It's an everybody thing. I mean, the national championship in college football is Indiana against Miami, a team that shouldn't have been there against Miami. You know, like, seriously, like, when you look at what this NIL stuff has done, this is why I like the NIL, because it's open doors. Yeah, if you're in a blue blood, now all of a sudden the playing field has been leveled by a lot of people.
Kids are transferring from Georgia to Vanderbilt in football.
It's unbelievable. it's unbelievable. And, yeah. and for me, as a guy that wants to give people opportunity, and I love that. I think that's really cool that these kids can A, make money, and B, have the ability to transfer, and C, go to schools that aren't normal schools that we've been so accustomed to being the best. I mean, college football has been top heavy for five generations. College basketball has been top heavy for five generations. And now you're seeing a spreading of the wealth. And I think it's ultimately great for the sport, because more fan bases are involved now, right? You're a UCF, whatever team they are, and you just beat Kansas for the second time in 2 years. That engages your fan base. You're West Virginia. You just went on the road and beat Kansas or whatever it was.
Engages
your fan base, right? Like, that's a good thing. BYU and Indiana football. Like, just watching a little bit with Joe Buck last night when he read the liner for the championship game, he's like, I can't believe I'm reading this. He's an alum of the University of Indiana, right? Never in his life would he think his team would win two games in a year, let alone being in the national championship game. So it has done so much for the sports. The Bill Self thing is something that, you know, Kling and I used to talk about with Bill Self for a very long time. And we always made the case that when they won the national championship and had the best teams, it was always those four-year classes. Go back and see when KU was the most successful. It was when they had seniors and the four-year classes in 8 and in 12. And after that, when they won the national championship again, they had the buy-in from those seniors and top-level juniors. And I used to say to Bill, we'd have lunch about once a week up in Lawrence when he would do his press conferences. And afterwards, you'd just sit around the table and, you know, BS and whatnot and have these conversations. And we'd talk about everything, right? And it was a wide open forum, and it was awesome, and I loved every minute of it. And you know, as a say whatever you want. It's all off the record type stuff. And we used to talk about the one and dones. Bill's never been really great with one and done players at the University of Kansas. Where Bill is the best, and what makes him the best that I've ever seen, and he is my college basketball coach. Like, I don't believe that there's anybody better. I know there are, but in my mind, he's the best. What he does is he builds a program, and he gets those guys in it as a freshman. And by the time they're seniors, they're bought into KU, they're bought into all that stuff. And those four-year classes have done extremely well for Bill Self at the University of Kansas. And I said to him, I go, why don't you just recruit some of these guys instead of worrying about the one and dones? Because that's the Selby era and whoever else they were swinging and missing on, the Embiid stuff, and all these guys that would come in as these one-and-dones, and you'd get nothing out of them. You'd waste so much time and effort, and you didn't get the return on investment for a lot of these one-and-dones. And he looks at me, he goes, you got to go for the best players, dummy. And I'm like, I understand that, but the proof has been that when you can get a class of four-year players together, that's when you're at your best. But that's not the way college basketball is. He goes back to go, if Kentucky's knocking on the door of this guy, I got to be knocking on the door of that guy. My fans need that. Or if I got to be knocking on the door of, you know, this kid, then Duke's going to be knocking at the door of that kid. That's just the way that it was in college basketball. And now we're essentially in a permanent one and done era in college sports, right? Every player, in my opinion, right now is a one and done type of player, whether they're going to go to the portal, they're going to go pro, they're going to move on, whatever the case may be. And so for a guy whose biggest strength is program building and building that culture and building all of that, that's no longer the game. And so it's tough to adjust to that and maintain yourself on top when you've got so many people coming in from the outside now that are firing, rocks at you, and they're able to compete and they're able to get the players as well because their alums are tired of losing. So they're scratching the checks. And so where Bill Self once went from this big advantage of this program builder, those days of college sports, both in football and basketball, are done.
Which is why I ask if maybe he's being phased out. And I don't think that's necessarily a shot or a bad take to say against Bill Self at Kansas. But maybe it's not his league anymore.
I think his style and the way that he had success is being phased out. Now, there's no argument that he can't adjust and change and do all that. I mean, still top 27 in the country, and they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, and Darren Peterson is the best alleged player maybe in college basketball. So he's still able to go out there and get that talent. But you have to coach differently now, too. It's not just the recruiting of different, because if you're Bill Self, and you're Darren Peterson, and I look at you and I start telling you to do stuff, you're looking at me and going, bro, I got like 6 weeks left before the draft. I don't really care what you got to say, and not getting on the court and all that kind of stuff. It's a tough era to be a basketball coach or a football coach. And Dusty, that's why you've seen the legends of the game, for the most part, all walk away on the football and basketball side of things. What legendary coaches, other than like Bill Self and Tom Izzo, are still left in college sports right now?
Let me ask you this. The year's 2028. Are both Bill Self and Andy Reid still head coaches?
I'll go yes, but I'm not 100% invested in that yes.
Because somebody says they're a fan of North Carolina and the same things happened to their university. Like, it's just not the same anymore. Like, you're looking at
it's the, not, yeah.
Now, to me, I love it because it's so much more entertaining. But again,
it really is. I mean, but if you're a blue blood, like if you're a KU fan or a North Carolina, you're probably pissed. You probably are, right?
Sucks everybody else does it now, too.
Yeah, and people just
it's what Mark Mangino said. Everybody can cheat now.
Well, yeah, yeah, it is a level playing field, and I think people jump to the conclusion that you say either he can't recruit anymore or the X's and O's, like the actual game has passed him by. I don't think either of those things are the case.
No.
You can't motivate a player in the way you used to be able to. It's probably good for the sport as a whole, mm-hmm. but yeah, you're seeing this whole old guard phase out because of that. Like you said, Bob, it's a permanent one and done. Imagine if the NFL and the MLB didn't have rookie contracts and guys could just leave after every single year.
Oh, it'd be awful.
It'd be anarchy.
Yeah.
But I'm watching John Shire do it with Cameron Boozer, who's been probably gifted his whole life, yet he's still playing like he wants to win a national title. Yeah. And I'm watching the DeBanza.
I'll tell you.
I'm watching the DeBanza kid at BYU get $7 million from Crumble Cookie and still could be the number one pick in the draft and playing his ass off looking to make a change at BYU. Yeah.
Well, there's character for everybody. I'm not saying Darren Peterson has bad character and DeBanza has good because I don't know those
guys. Peterson's played 30 minutes his last two games, so maybe he's finally healthy and they can get rolling. But either way, I don't think this guy is falling in Kansas, but I think the sky is definitely
it's a different tint. Yeah, it's definitely different.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
Yeah, no Mac today. I'll try to keep this thing afloat. And I got to start with a shout out to Dawson and Holly from the 660 who had their parents text in and say, we can't wait for One Word a few minutes ago.
Oh, nice.
Guys, this segment's taken over the world. So shout out to Dawson and Holly.
Dawson and Holly.
Way to go, kiddos. Right, go to school today.
First one for me, I will start with a team that's still in the playoffs. I want to talk about the Houston Texans. That defense was incredible. That quarterback, the exact opposite. And now Nico Collins is questionable with the concussion. So I want one word on their chances against the Patriots this weekend.
Good, because of that defense. And, you know, yeah, the Nico Collins thing did suck last night. That was terrible, and C.J. Stroud wasn't great. But we're watching a team, man, play defense like it's nobody's business. And so because of the way that they go out there and play defense, I think they got a really good chance to go into New England and pull that upset. They just don't have to make mistakes on offense and let their defense kind of carry the water for them. And maybe they can. We'll see.
Huge. That was ugly. He hit that hard turf last night. Immediately, everybody knew.
Yep.
Right? When your guy rolls over after hitting his head and grabs the head, you're like, ah, and then they were helping him walk out the field. Hurts their chances. The defense is great, but if C.J. Stroud goes out there, New England's defense is no slouch either.
Well, Christian Gonzalez may not be playing this weekend now, too. That's big.
And this is, if you're a football guy, I mean, this is a Jay Binkley horny matchup. D'Amico Ryans, Mike Vrabel, which guy would you rather play for? I can't answer that question.
That's a great one. I don't know the answer to that either. I would say D'Amico because he was kind of, you know, my first love, if you will. But I've always loved Vrabel, too. Like, I did love Vrabel in 2012 or something like that when he was, like, that's a great one. I don't know. I play for – the answer's yes.
Yeah,
you're not going to go wrong.
I don't think you have to be Bink to be horny for this one.
Right.
This is the matchup that maybe the casual fans the least excited for. I can't wait for this.
Vrabel's out there headbutting his players, getting bloody lips.
Oh, God, yeah.
D'Amico's out there in pregame warm-ups, dapping up everybody like the Key and Peele skit, and then goes up to Tommy Townsend. Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Guys, one word on the future of Aaron Rodgers following the debacle collapse. It's none of those things. It was a predictable loss. But one word of the future of Aaron Rodgers.
Quick. I hope this is a quick decision by Aaron Rodgers. And it isn't something that, you know, holds the league hostage all offseason long. And we're rolling into, you know, July wondering whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to show up again.
I hate to burst your bubble, Bob. It's
I thought you were looking down like there was some news on that.
Know what we're talking about. It's going to be drawn
out. But also, if I'm the Steelers, I'm like, look, man, you got to make a decision here quick because we need to go out and figure out what we're going to do as well.
I can tell you he'll make a real quick decision depending on what they do with Tomlin. So I think Tomlin would be my one word because what they do and what the situation is with Mike Tomlin will very clearly indicate, I believe, what Aaron Rodgers, especially what he said in that press conference where he had LaFleur and Tomlin's back and nobody in the media, even though he does a lot of media.
Yeah, that leads perfectly into the next one I had is we heard murmurs of all these teams that could lose in the wild card round that could move on from their head coaches. The Bills are the only one that won, so they don't have that question right now. But as of now, Packers say they want to extend Matt LaFleur. Rodgers is thumping for Mike Tomlin. We've heard nothing about Sirianni in Philadelphia. So one word on all these wild card losers running it back with their head coaches.
Patient. Because we saw a lot of firings on Tuesday and Wednesday last week. It felt like it wasn't all on Monday. You know, later in the week, stuff started to trickle out a little bit. The Eagles situation, to me, is probably the most dire right now. I don't know if that's like we move A.J. Brown and then everybody's okay again, or if you got to move on Nick Sirianni. I mean, the man did take this team to two Super Bowls and won one, and people act like, you know, Nick Sirianni's done nothing there in Philadelphia, but still, that's the beast of Philadelphia. But I mean, I think it's patient right now. I think we'll see, you know, more information maybe trickle out today and whatnot. I love, though, the fact that Matt LaFleur has spun this thing like, well, if you don't extend me, you need to get rid of me, and made it all about them having to make a move. That's brilliant by them.
Yeah. Good job on his camp holding the ball in their corner. My one word is realization. The realization is that there are 7 vacancies already open, and if there are 2 more to be made, that's 9. There's already a quarter of the league without a head coach. We know the 2 most desirable names as of right now are going to be John Harbaugh and Kevin Stefanski, because I don't think Stefanski was the problem in Cleveland, but hey, Cleveland's just a problem in itself, so good for him to get out of there. But I will say, realization that these people might be like, yeah, it's quick to think, oh, we're going to fire a head coach. And then it's like, well, if not him, then who? Because I think that if I'm Dan Campbell, I'm making sure Mike McDaniels doesn't go anywhere because I don't want to control my offense and lose my job because I can't find a competent leader. Go find the guy that the organization wants, the fan bases want, and let him control your offense. But, yeah, my one word would be realization.
One more quick one for you here. It was announced yesterday the Falcons completed an interview with John Harbaugh. Then he's also completed extensive phone calls with, well, pretty much every team that has an opening. The Browns, Titans, Raiders, Cardinals. I don't know why he's casting such a wide net. I kind of figured we had the leaders in the clubhouse of where he would go. So one word on where John Harbaugh is going to land. Prediction time.
I'm going to say, what's the word that I'm trying to come up with here for this? Brilliant for Harbaugh. He's just going to sit back. The Giants showed up at his house yesterday. Did an interview with him there. He, like you mentioned, he's been on the phone with all these other people. I think the Giants are the only one that had a true in-person interview with Harbaugh, but he made him come to his crib in Baltimore, which, fantastic. You want me, come find me, type of thing. I think you have to do your due diligence if you're Harbaugh. Talk to every team that's open. Tell the Raiders and the Cardinals and the Browns, thank you very much. When you're ready to be adults, maybe we'll have a conversation in 20 years. But other than that, you know, you got to tell him no at some point. But the Harbaugh courting is going to be awesome, I think.
Where's and he going?
I think he ends up with the Giants. Okay. I do. I think that ends up being the best situation. It came out yesterday that it was between the Giants and the Falcons right now. I don't know what the Falcons offer that could be better than what the Giants have in place in New York. It's closer to where he is. It's a better, you know, franchise, premier franchise, if you will, in the NFL. It's New York, and the league may make Harbaugh go to New York to try to fix that situation.
Like, but
that's kind of where I see him ending up. I think it's the most prestigious, if you will, jobs.
Camera down, microphone down.
But no, there we go. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. I think where he goes is, I think it's fine that he's checking out his options, right? Like, if you have an interview with a job and they're like, hey, it's yours, but, you know, give it a couple weeks and then a couple other places call you and they want to talk to you, you never know what you might find if you go check something out. So Just some news in from Jordan Schultz. The Titans will be interviewing former head coach Brian Daboll for their head coach open vacancy on Friday.
They've interviewed like 13 to 15 people for that
job. That's his first known NFL head coaching interview.
So. Or offensive coordinator interview, I think, at this point.
Coming up next, what is your skill set? We'll ask the text line because we found it from Uber Facts. Feels a lot like after hours when you do the out of left field question. We'll do it next here on 96.5 The Fan. How's your mic?
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody says when the Bills lose this weekend, they'll have an opening for Harbaugh in Buffalo. Bills point and a half underdogs in Denver. What did road teams do this week? 4-2? New England won. And the other team won. Chicago.
Won. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just everybody else won on the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's great, actually, for the NFL, right? You have all the parity that you want in this league, and you know, just because you're playing at home doesn't mean you're guaranteed a victory in the postseason. I like
Philly,
it.
Philly fans got to see a loss.
Yeah, they
at
did.
Home.
Mm-hmm.
Guys should be flipping burgers at McDonald's.
Yeah.
So you found this on Uber Facts. I always love Uber Facts
because
they just get you thinking sometimes. They have a question. 913-586-7965. Maybe you can chime in on this. What is a skill you learned as a kid that's completely useless now, but you still show off sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I figured you'd have some of these, right? I figured there's probably some skills that you probably had, Nathan. I'm sure there's something you had. For me, I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine because it's something nobody has to do anymore. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you memorized somebody's telephone number?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Like
1998.
I can remember my home phone number from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I've memorized my wife's phone number. Couldn't tell you what my kids' numbers are. Have no idea what my sister's or my parents' phone numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff used to be in your mind because you had to remember all of that kind of stuff. Now, when was the last time anybody memorized a telephone number?
Advances in technology are perfect for that. I mean, I had my parents' cell phone number. I still know my mother's because it's similar to mine. I still know my dad's because it's super easy, and I know my stepdad's. I don't know my sister's, either one of them. I don't know my stepmom's. I know my house phones for sure to this day, but that's it.
There's about five or six numbers.
Oh, and I can remember Pizza Shuttle's number, 842-1212, because that was a call I made every day for 4 years.
I say half of the numbers I remember are probably from like your live reads, Bob.
But
I mean, two or three family members, my home number when I was a kid, that's about it. I mean, I haven't memorized a new phone number in years.
I guess the text line / phone line number is pretty easy to memorize.
That's one.
Because sometimes people will text me like, what's the number to the station? Carrington's really pissed me off. Like, 913-586-7965.
Right.
I don't know. Skill set, I guess cursive writing.
Yeah, you don't do that anymore,
like,
right?
Once in a while, like if I check out at Jersey Mike's, I'll actually do the full name and do it. And then the guy will look at me like, what is that? It's cursive. They don't teach it.
They don't teach it. Nobody can read it anymore either.
Back in my day, third grade, you learned multiplication and you learned cursive, and it was like a whole new world.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I have a skill like that. I'm way too good at typing, and you do type on a day-to-day basis, so you need it. But I'm like insanely uselessly good at typing.
Mm-hmm.
Would dominate all the tests when we had typing classes in school. Did 106 words a minute the last time I tried. Insanely stupidly good at typing. Should be a report, the people in the courtroom. I don't know what you call
stenographer.
Them. Stenographer.
Says the lawyer. The person in the courtroom.
I'd be much better. Well, they don't use those anymore. You're on the record virtually most of the time, and they record you. But no, I think I'd be much more useful in that role than doing anything else I currently do. I don't know why I'm so good at typing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of those classes that I took in high school, and my parents you got to take this class. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm so glad I did. It's the best class I ever took. I'm still using it today, 35 years later.
Sure.
That's the way to put it. Yeah, the most applicable class ever is typing. Yeah, you use it all the time.
You think our parents would say balancing a checkbook?
Probably. Yeah, when was the last time anybody has legitimately balanced their checkbook?
I never did. because I always just hit the receipt at the ATM and would look at the number and be like, okay, don't spend any more money. Yeah.
The last time I even heard about balancing a checkbook was the couple of months before our wedding. They made us take some stupid class, you know. What a waste of time that was. It was about 18 years ago this week, because it was when the Giants beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. And I told my wife, I said, don't worry about the playoffs this year. The Giants aren't going to be any good. And that was 2008. They ended up winning the damn Super Bowl. So I know what I'm talking about, right? And so we had to go to this damn class, and there was a part of the class was a lesson on how to balance a checkbook. And I'm sitting there going, what year are we sitting in where we're talking about balancing a checkbook? I mean, some of the antiquated stuff that these premarital classes want to take you through and teach you. Just come to me for your premarital advice. I'll give you everything you need to know.
I've never balanced a checkbook, not once.
Ever.
I've written under 5 checks in my life.
In your life. Uh-huh. So the joke, I'm still writing 2025 on my checks, just doesn't, you know. Yeah.
No. I mean, I think I wrote 4 checks in college, and it was for rent. And that was it.
Hey, we had to write checks. I mean, that's how we paid for everything. Everybody was just writing checks back in the day.
Somebody says they know Mike's got this number by the top of their head.
Mm-hmm.
Memorizing the station number is a lot easier now that Kling retired. You'd be lucky to catch the middle 3 numbers when he'd read it off.
There's a method to his madness.
Yeah. Shotgunning a surge. That's disgusting. Somebody says they know states and state capitals in alphabetical order.
Oh, that's really cool. I know that. I can do the capitals and states, but I couldn't do it in alphabetical order. That's awesome.
I couldn't do the capitals. No way. I could name probably half the state capitals.
Yeah.
And not in order.
Someone says 911 is the only number they have that they have memorized.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
I used to know how to yo-yo. I don't know if I could still do the around. I could do.
Oh, that's cool.
I could do walk the dog. I could do rock the cradle, which I think has a different meaning at some point. And I could do around the world. And that was it, because those perfect salesmen that would come in and sell those Major Saver cards. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, if you sell 5, just 5, you'll get this fireball yo-yo. Yeah, boy, man, I was down the street.
Major Saver cards with Lunar Bowl and pizza shop on the back.
If you're the top seller in your class, you get a pizza party.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then everybody's Major Saver card stayed right where it always stayed.
On the refrigerator. Nobody ever uses those things, ever.
Well, if we buy one burger tonight, somebody says you have to know J.G. Whitworth's number.
Yeah.
877-CASH-NOW.
877-CASH-NOW. And also the Empire Today flooring. 800-588-2300. Call Empire today.
The Dewey Decimal System at the library.
That's another good one that doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, that's a scam.
Say the states in alphabetical order is another one. I don't know, man. There's just so many of those things where it's like you don't really, like, I guess they still use lockers in school, right? Like being able to, is that gone? I don't know. I'm not around.
There are lockers, but nobody uses them.
Well, you're just not required to carry around a big textbook, I don't think, anymore for each class. So, like, I think the kids can, like, put their jacket and stuff in the locker.
They don't even do that. I don't even think my kids know where their locker is. They come out with everything every day.
But they pretty much have a little binder or a backpack or something.
They have a backpack, but it weighs them down. It's heavy still. Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of notebooks and all that kind of stuff. I don't know why they don't use their lockers, but they don't. I mean,
I graduated 10, 11 years ago, all I used, even at that point, was like for gym clothes and stuff.
Really?
I didn't want to have on my person the whole day. I carried everything I needed in my backpack.
You did, huh?
Yeah. Same.
Oh, see, we always just went to the locker. It was just, why am I carrying around 85 books and a trapper keeper, for God's sakes, you know?
Yeah. What's a skill set you used to be really good at that is no longer relevant anymore? Why is the Dewey Decimal System a scam?
Yeah. Ask Kramer. He'll tell you.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, that's another. You don't hear that anymore either. Is the Dare to Keep Kids Off of Drugs program still going on, too, where the cop comes in and tells you to put down the weed? Like, is that thing still going strong?
I think we lost that with Nancy.
Did we?
Because
we, my generation, my age, God, we did not quite have that. More of my sister, a couple years after me, had more of that.
Drugs are bad. I'm good.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Mackey. Yeah, here comes Lurch, the cop from Wharton, New Jersey. Like, what are you doing? Weed.
Yeah. Smoking marijuana is bad. It's actually got a different rap these days. So again, that was the question from the text, or to the text line from you guys. What is a skill set that you used to be really, really good at, or that you learned as a kid and is completely useless now? You know, I believe my stepmom, she used to always write down her gas mileage. Did you guys ever do that when you like first started driving? 913-586-79. Bob's not listening. We'll go to break.
Yes, I used to write it down all the time because back in the day.
Like every time she got gas, she would write down the price and write down her mileage on the car.
Oh, that. No, I never did that. My dad, I think may have done that once or twice, but I used to write down my mileage all the time back when you could write it off before the tax laws changed. But I used to keep track of just about everything.
See, graduated in 2009, never knew where my locker was.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
I didn't use one. I graduated in 2006. Never used my high school locker.
When did lockers become obsolete then in school? It must have been right after I left. I don't know.
Yeah. My buddy just texted me. My buddy Matt goes, the kids come home today with QR codes.
It is true.
Yeah. I like this one. Out of 816, useless skill, talking to people in person.
Oh, that's a good one. Very good one. Nobody wants to talk in person anymore.
Aaron Rodgers listens to the show today.
Did you guys see the Miller Lite commercial that started running during the playoffs? Like, put down the phone and go out and actually talk to people. It's a great commercial with John Voight in it. It's a fantastic commercial.
Somebody says, sex. I used to be really good at it. At least I thought so. Now, not at all. Mm-hmm. It'll get you. And then someone says using a slinky toy. Wouldn't that be fun to bring out from a kid?
Like, slinky.
See that stare?
Fun is a wonderful toy.
Coming up next, it's Bob's Bonehead of the Week on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.